For more on speculation and its impact on those staggering prices you're seeing at the pump, we go now to Severin Borenstein. He's the director of the University of California's Energy Institute at Berkeley. Thanks for joining us, and let's start off by talking about excessive speculation. It's a term we hear a lot. We hear it a lot in connection with this spike in oil prices. Is that what's really going on?
Well, it's something that a lot of politicians are grabbing onto because they're looking for some explanation other than we just want a lot of oil, the world that is, and the supply is pretty limited. But unfortunately, there really isn't much evidence to support that speculators are actually raising the price of oil. There's no question there's more activity in the oil markets these days, but the harsh reality is that even at $130 a barrel, ultimately all of that oil actually is getting consumed by people who are willing to pay those high prices for it. So as much as we'd like to think that somehow it's the speculators that are doing it, it's much, much more likely that it's strong demand and limited supply that's causing these very high prices.
Let's focus for a moment on the role of these speculators. You know, some analysts argue that without speculation, there'd be no liquidity and prices might be even higher than they are now. What are your thoughts?
Well, they would definitely be more volatile than they are now. One thing that speculators do is they come into the market, and if they think the price is higher than the fundamentals justify, they will sell oil. And if they think the price is too low, they will buy oil. And so speculators, on average, tend to help move the market to the equilibrium that actually should be reflected from supply and demand. There are occasions where we can see things get out of hand, and people often talk about, for instance, the late 90s and the dot-com boom. The difference here is that actual oil is being consumed day after day in the oil market. And so it's much harder for the prices to get completely out of line.
The word excessive seems rather subjective. So how do you know when speculation is excessive?
It's very hard to know when speculation is excessive while it's going on. Now, part of the legislation that is being discussed right now is to beef up the oversight activities of the Commodity Futures Trading Commission. And that probably makes sense. They have actually lost a lot of manpower and funding, and trying to bring them back up to the scale they need to oversee these markets is a good idea. But unfortunately, I don't think they're going to find that the high oil prices are being driven by any activity of these traders.
And we've just heard that these findings might not be coming out until mid-September. So what are we supposed to be doing now?
Well, I don't think there's much that the federal government can do right now about oil prices other than try to launch us on a longer-term program to get off of oil. Ultimately, the fact is that oil is very limited, that it's extremely limited in the United States. Even if we drilled everywhere where oil is suspected to be, we wouldn't have anywhere near enough oil to support our economy. And that probably means greater use of biofuels, greater use of electric vehicles. And of course, right away, what we need to do is move towards more fuel-efficient cars and figure out ways for people to just drive less by using mass transit or changing where we live relative to where we work.
Severin Borenstein is the director of the University of California's Energy Institute at Berkeley. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Let's hear now from someone who's actually been a regulator. Michael Greenberger used to run the Trading and Markets Division at the CFTC under President Clinton. He's now a professor at the University of Maryland School of Law. And Professor Greenberger, it seems there's a lot of dispute over whether what's going on is speculation, which is legal, and what is excessive speculation or manipulation, which is not. How can you tell the difference?
Well, you can tell the difference by monitoring the trading on an exchange on a regular basis. This is what futures regulators have done for decades. The problem is that in December of 2000, Congress deregulated a large part of this market, so there's no oversight, and it was aggravated by a CFTC decision to allow certain U.S.-located companies to be regulated by foreign exchanges. So the CFTC right now, for example, has no idea or no solid idea of what's happening on 30% of the United States traded crude oil futures markets. And speculators who are welcome, as a general matter, if they're not policed, can buy up all the contracts they want to buy up and drive the price upwards. And even worse, they can engage in phony trades or misreport their trades to give the appearance that there's a demand problem that actually isn't there.
Do you believe that's what's happening right now?
I believe that what's happening right now is we don't know what's happening right now. And my aggravation is that the Bush administration has reached the conclusion without any data at all that there's not a problem and is being dragged, kicking and screaming by Congress to make an examination of those markets to see what is going on there. Unless we look, we'll never know. And I'm very suspicious the American people are being manipulated up in when they pay for a price of gasoline that has nothing to do with supply demand, nothing to do with clean energy, nothing to do with global warming, and everything to do with putting money into the pockets of investment banks, hedge funds, and pension funds.
You know, people who say, no, there isn't excessive speculation, there isn't manipulation in these markets, they point to a wide variety of market forces, and they say there isn't any single factor responsible for rising food and energy prices.
There's no doubt, and I don't want to be misunderstood, the price of oil is affected by supply-demand problems. The problem here is nobody's looking at the markets to see what's happening there. People are saying, gee, there may be a lot of reasons, but we won't look at 30% of the market to see what's happening if that market is in a state of dysfunction. Historically, futures markets, the farmers learned this at the turn of the 20th century, can be manipulated by speculators. That's why we have futures regulation. But we're seeing 30% of the U.S. West Texas Intermediate contract, the major determinant of crude oil, gasoline and heating oil and jet fuel, and we cannot see what's going on, so we can only guess. Maybe it's all fine and dandy and everything is going perfectly well, but right now there's smoke and nobody's looking to see if there's fire.
Michael Greenberger is a former commissioner at the CFTC. He's now a professor at the University of Maryland School of Law. Michael Greenberger, thank you very much.
You're welcome.